Welcome to Makeshift Stories, an open-ended sci-fi and fantasy podcast for kids. We have invented the world that our imaginations can explore, and you are invited to join our community and contribute your ideas for future episodes. So please visit our website at makeshiftstories.com and get involved. We'd like to thank Kathleen and Carol for their ideas for tonight's story. Now, close your eyes, sit back, and relax as we listen to Episode 5, Solstice.
Adrian had researched the problem thoroughly, tapping into the infinite stream of consciousness that connected the membranes of all 11 dimensions. He had learned that portals, which allow physical passage from one place and time to another, were rare. A specific combination of circumstances were needed that involved celestial and quantum alignments, large masses of focused psychological energy, and intense manipulation of the threads that held everything together. All Hallows' Eve had been one of those moments. As soon as Tim disappeared that night, Serene had flown off. Adrian now understood that there was another point of alignment, and had he been thinking more clearly, he could have simply followed Serene to it and gone through himself. But there was still another opportunity for a portal to form at the opposite end. This would happen soon. After that, it could be thousands of years before the right elements came together again. The northern winds of early winter bit into Adrian's jacket, pinning it against his chest, finding the minute holes between the weave of the cloth. Its effect was numbing, so Adrian spun around, pushing his back into the wind to protect his face and chest. No matter how cold it felt here, he knew that this was nothing compared to the unimaginable deep freeze that held Siraz in its grip. He needed to get there and help Tim get back, even if it meant revealing his secret and being trapped in one place again. Adrian jumped over a pile of dirty gray-brown snow that had been plowed up onto the sidewalk. Everything reminded him of Siraz: the darkness, the sharpness of the wind, the grungy rolled salt-induced slush. With a renewed urgency, he hurried home. Ify, Serene, and the rescue team raced toward the spot where the scout had stopped. From a distance, it looked as if a body was lying on the ground, half covered by a snowdrift. Serene was frantic, muttering to herself as she careened over the crest of the low rise. As she got closer, it became obvious that it was not a body, but an abandoned pile of surface gear sitting beside a cache. The cache had been ripped open in a hurry. Its precious stash of equipment was strewn about on the snow and rocks.
"Report,"
Ify commanded, puffing heavily in the thin atmosphere. "There are two abandoned surface suits, but the equipment from the cache is gone. They must have made it here, changed suits, and continued on," suggested the scout, pointing to a somewhat erratic trail of footprints leading off toward the Triffle base.
"Still doesn't mean that they made it,"
Ify cynically interrupted.
"They would have been freezing when they got here, and those suits weren't intended to cure hypothermia. Either way, this is where we turn around. We'll put the word out to our informers and wait to hear back."
"He's alive,"
Serene exclaimed. She turned around, her eyes following the trail that led away from the cache.
"I can feel his presence, but I've got to know for sure. There is too much at stake. Tim must leave this world as soon as possible."
Serene stepped forward, about to follow the path, but Ify and the rest of her team blocked the giant's way.
"No,"
Ify objected.
"You can't just walk into the Triffle base. You'll be captured and imprisoned. Remember, Margot, or Serene, or whatever your name is. They think you betrayed them, and they're not going to let you just walk in and take Tim away. We've got to think this through. We need a plan."
Serene stopped and nodded in partial agreement. Staring off to the horizon, she appeared to be lost in thought. But Serene's mind at that moment was immersed in the subreal, looking for the signs of Tim and the threads of the next portal. Evie pushed against the back of Serene's knee, momentarily causing her to lose her balance and lose her concentration. The cold world of Serez flooded in and overwhelmed Serene's senses. She was back.
Okay,
she said.
You have until the day after tomorrow to get him back. But if you can't, then I'll be forced to walk into their base and take him myself, regardless of the risk. You don't seem to understand the stakes involved, Evie. If we can't get him back and send him through the next portal, we're all doomed to spend the rest of our lives on Serez.
Serene hadn't been entirely truthful. Only she would be trapped on Serez if Tim was not returned by her hand. And to ensure that this happened, she would need to use all her social engineering skills to manipulate the Sodality into helping her. No one was home when Adrian arrived, perfect, he thought. He had an immense amount of work to do and little energy left to do it, so he couldn't afford to be disturbed. Adrian's powers had been drained covering up Tim's disappearance. He had been forced to temporarily erase Tim from the minds of people who had known him. This type of intervention was strictly prohibited, but he was already considered a renegade, so what difference did that make? Adrian sank into his most comfortable chair and began to let his mind slip into the underbelly of reality. He had learned that a return portal from Serez could be formed at the winter solstice. This year, both here and on Serez, the solstice occurred at the same time, creating the potential for a passage. So a return was clearly possible, but getting to Serez was going to be very difficult. In his centuries of banishment, Adrian had uncovered a technique that some of his kind were aware of, but few had successfully used. It was how he had escaped his imprisonment and hid his whereabouts. Adrian had taught himself how to move his consciousness not from just one body to another, but to different places and different times. It first happened almost by chance. Adrian had suffered 1,000 years of lonely exile and had let his mind go slowly blank until one day a young consciousness touched him. It was a mind that had not yet reached the point of self-awareness. It was a pure and creative potential that drew Adrian's mostly forgotten being in. The two minds merged and danced in a dark sea of possibility, uniting and creating a new consciousness. It seemed to Adrian that they were in a timeless void until, without warning, overwhelming sensations of light, sound, feel, and smell violently interjected themselves into their peaceful existence. When the pain ended, Adrian found himself on another world and in an infant's body shared by two minds. Adrian's merging had come at the cost of many memories, and it had taken him until the midlife of his first host to understand how this had happened. Through many transformations, he had perfected the technique, learning more precisely just how close he needed to slide into oblivion to create the conditions for a leap. Both minds needed to be on the edge of nothingness, both personalities and memories on the verge of emergence or disappearance. This only happened at birth or death, and up to now, Adrian had chosen the latter. Adrian knew that if the merging did not work, the mind of the host would survive, but he would not, and when he left the host, he experienced only a vague sense of loss that soon passed. All their shared memories remained, only that separate part, which was Adrian, moved on. Adrian knew that he must now attempt something extremely dangerous. There would be no newborns on Serez, only those close to death, and on Serez, even death was not that frequent. At the edge of death, there was little room for error. If a joining was too early, Adrian's consciousness would be rejected, and if it was too late, both would slip over the edge into the void. Adrian closed his eyes and began to forget. Slowly, he freed himself from the world. Lights seemed to be dancing off the back of his eyelids, like sunlight shining through ice. There were indiscernible sounds as well. unrecognizable words, whispering voices clinging to the walls rather than coming to his ears. Legs, hands, feet all seemed to be there, but not one responded to his will. For a moment, he did not know who he was. Two names just floated out of reach, just a little too far away to remember. Suddenly, one came falling back.
"Amos! Amos!"
whispered Raymer.
"Don't struggle. You're in the water pool. We're gradually raising your body temperature. You'll be groggy for a few more hours. You were frozen. Tim saved you. He got you here just in time, Amos."
"Tim? Tim?"
muttered Amos, his mind still slowed by the cold, trying to wrap that name with memories. Memories that seemed to emerge from nowhere and recede again. Other memories, more recent and more persistent, fought for space in his head. None of this made any sense. His mind was confused by new thoughts and foreign memories. Serene was lying awake, unable to sleep when it happened. The pattern she had projected against the artificial stars of the night ceiling suddenly changed. The threads jumped, and then settled into a new pattern, one she couldn't influence. There were only two reasons that this should happen, she thought. Tim had just died, and she was now banished to Suraz. Or there was someone else. Someone very powerful, who was also manipulating events. Efi's informers had reported that Tim was still alive, but Amos was near death. Could it be, she wondered, that Tim was an illusion like herself and was unconsciously interfering with her work? Had her obsession with Adrian caused her to miss this? The outside influence over the strands waned, and Serene was again able to make them bend to her desire. A momentary disruption such as this seemed to point to Tim. If this was true, it was even more important to return him to Earth. She didn't know what his mission may have been, and accidentally removing him from that reality might have dire consequences. Even worse, she wondered if Adrian had somehow managed to extend his influence to Suraz. The solstice alignment was rapidly approaching. Serene could not afford any mistakes. She needed to know who this new person was and why they were interfering. She let her mind go, searching the threads for answers. The sun was high in the artificial sky of the Great Hall when Efi decided to wake Serene up.
"Hey, Serene, wake up!"
Efi sternly exclaimed as she prodded the giant's side. Serene rolled over, and Efi jumped out of her way. Efi persisted and prodded her again. This time, Serene slowly awoke.
"What is it? Why are you disturbing me?"
Serene grunted.
"The sun is at its apex. We need the Great Hall. You've got to move,"
Efi sternly replied. Serene sat up.
"There's a complication,"
she angrily muttered.
"What?"
Efi snapped.
"You won't move? So we've got to work around you?"
"No, I wish it was as trivial as that, Efi. There is another, like me, who's influencing events on Suraz,"
Serene replied, with more than a hint of anxiety in her voice.
"You mean Tim?"
questioned Efi.
"No. I'm not sure. Possibly. Another illusion, much older, and much more powerful than me. I need a quiet place to concentrate, so I can figure out what's going on,"
Serene impatiently responded.
"Perhaps a visit to our project, or should I say your project, Amos, will help jog your memory,"
suggested Raymar. Amos was more alert now. He was sitting up beside Tim, but hours after his revival, his mind was still a foggy soup of conflicting thoughts.
"Okay, Raymar. I'd like that,"
Amos replied.
"Whatever this project is, if it's important to me, it may help."
"As a senior administrator, Amos, it was your life's obsession,"
Raymar added.
"Lean on the giant. You are weak, and follow me."
Raymor led them down a long tunnel with rough-hewn stone walls. Amos was still a little unstable on his feet and leaned periodically on Tim for support. The tunnel sloped down at an uncomfortable pitch that made Tim feel like he might get vertigo if he looked too much at the illuminated floor, which seemed to fall away from them with every step. So instead, Tim tried to take his mind away from their descent by talking to Raymor.
Raymor, this tunnel seems too big for a Triffle,
suggested Tim, looking at Raymor instead of the floor.
You're right, it was designed for giants like you,
he tersely responded, ignoring Tim and staring straight ahead.
It was built when Margo was with us, and Amos insisted that she needed access to help design and construct the device. It cost us dearly to make this.
Raymor picked up his pace. Tim got the hint and decided it would be easier to concentrate in the ceiling rather than try and engage Raymor in conversation. So they walked in silence until the floor leveled out. They stopped for a moment to rest. Tim leaned against the stone wall. It was warm to the touch. The first time on Ceres that Tim had felt heat radiating from something that was not artificial. Tim guessed that they must be very deep within the planet's crust, and in the distance, he thought he could hear the low hum of an industrial plant.
We're nearly there. Let's go.
Raymor's voice cracked the air like a drill sergeant. They walked another few minutes, the hum constantly growing in intensity until they rounded the corner, emerging into a large underground cavern carved out of the solid rock. This space was like nothing else in Ceres. It was large, even by Tim's standards, and everywhere Tim looked, the place was crammed with cables and pipes and endless banks of monitoring equipment. Large metal conduits radiated out from the walls toward a circular raised area that seemed to hold a pool of turbulent glowing plasma. It lashed out with pent-up energy as they approached. Tim and Amos instinctively stepped back when a jet of green plasma leapt straight up toward the roof.
Amos!
Raymor chirped, trying to get Amos's attention.
This is it. The jewel of our escape plan. The gravity generator. Amos, don't you remember?
Raymor paused, waiting for Amos to respond.
Don't you remember how difficult it was to move all the equipment here for the generator from the mysterious equipment cache we found when we first arrived?
Amos stared with an odd mixture of recognition and confusion. Raymor continued.
When she slept, the giant Margo talked. She talked of escaping to other worlds and other times through portals that periodically connected them. She'd wake up and mostly forget. But you, Amos, insisted that this must be a reference to, and a validation of, the Kazmir effect.
Amos stared blankly at Raymor.
Amos, you know, wormholes. Navigable wormholes. So we put all our resources here to build a gravity generator from that pile of junk we found to create a wormhole.
Raymor's story seemed to be awakening old memories for Amos, but conflict was still etched in the lines of his face.
Margo was beginning to recover her memories as we built the generator, but we had reached a point of impasse in its development. She claimed she'd found a solution buried in a forgotten memory. Then she suddenly left to seek out the Sodality, and we were left with our dilemma, Amos. Remember?
Prodded Raymor. Amos' facial expression changed from that of confusion to that of recognition.
You can't test the gate, can you, Raymor? It can only be used once.
Amos turned to Tim, and with a gesture that was oddly familiar, said,
You see, Tim, my good friend. To power the gate, they must destroy the planet. But there's another way, and Margo, or should I say, Serene, must have known about it.
Raymor and Tim stared at Amos in confusion. Amos looked at both with an intensity that each knew from different worlds.
I am now too. My recent near-death experience was the opportunity for me to come here.
Amos stopped, noticing his friend's bewildered expressions.
I am Amos, Raymor. And Tim, I am your friend Adrian. I know that is confusing, but it would take too long to explain. There is another way to leave Serez, but there is much to prepare, and only 2 days to do it. We must be ready before noon on the solstice.
Tim and Raymart looked quizzically at their friend.
This won't happen on its own. I have to create the correct conditions, and to do that, I need to meditate on the place in the quantum void where the portal will form. I need a quiet room,
yelled Amos as he ran back up the tunnel.
Raymar, get everyone ready to move. Tim, help them.
Amos or Adrian, or whoever he had become, disappeared around the corner, leaving Tim and Raymar behind, trying to sort out what had just happened. Serene searched the entire station looking for Ify. She finally found her standing quietly outside the entrance, watching the Cerozan sun slowly set, changing the thin green sky into purple and orange. Ify heard Serene approach.
Beautiful, isn't it, Serene? It's a beautiful prison.
Ify lamented without turning to greet Serene.
But it doesn't have to be a prison. At least not anymore.
Serene countered.
I've been looking at the patterns forming in the quantum void. I know what they're doing, and I know where they're going.
I don't see how that helps us.
Ify questioned.
They're all going to leave. All of them, Ify. Our mysterious illusion has somehow manipulated the portal so more than one can pass through. Ify, there's a way off Serez now.
Serene's voice was filled with excitement.
I hadn't told you about the portal before, because only one person can pass through, and that person had to be Tim. Tim has to go home to restore the balance. But now we can all go.
Ify turned away from the setting sun to face Serene. The glowing pattern glyphs that adorned the entrance were uncharacteristically calm. Settling into a regular pattern, it was as if they had been waiting for this news.
Ify, when the cosmic and quantum forces of two places align, it's possible to create a portal by manipulating the void in between. My people have been able to do this with their minds since the beginning of time, but never on the scale of this. Ify, I know when and where it'll form. We have to be there first. We have to grab Tim, then we can all leave together.
Serene explained. Ify smiled, but her mind was elsewhere, busy creating a plan. Even at its great distance, Cerez's sun was strong enough to make the white surface glow against the dark green of the sky. It reminded Adrian of the cold, clear winter days that he had spent with his old host's parents. Bright, sunny days that hid danger in their crispness, even on Earth. Here on Serez, the dangers of its extreme environment were momentarily veiled by the brilliance of the noon sun.
Life here is always tenuous,
thought Amos, intruding on Adrian's thoughts.
Good thing that we'll not have to cohabitate this body much longer.
They both mused at once. The long column of Triffle stretched out over the plain. They had been marching since sunrise, carrying and dragging the equipment that they would need over the now slushy surface. All were tired. There had been almost no time to prepare, so most had not slept the night before. They had been running on adrenaline since word had spread that they were leaving Serez.
Amos!
Raymer yelled from the front of the column.
How much farther to the cave?
Keep moving towards the ridge on the left. We should be there by mid-afternoon,
Amos shouted back.
It's vital that we stay there overnight. We'll start out for the portal site tomorrow.
Yes, you keep saying that,
Raymer complained.
But you still haven't explained why we are making this detour.
As the sun moved across the Cerozan sky, the long line continued to wind its way across the plain like a great centipede. In the shadow of a low line of rocks, the group came to a stop.
There,
Amos pointed.
There's the entrance. We need everyone and all the equipment inside before the sun sets.
The column quickly reorganized itself into small work groups, and started to move their loads into the mouth of the cave. While the work was being done, Raymer and Tim, led by Amos, went to explore a large tunnel that led away from the back of the gallery at the entrance. As they moved further down the tunnel, Tim noticed that the walls were not natural. They had been neatly carved out of solid rock by some sort of machine. Icons were periodically carved into the floor. Raymer stared at them, but said nothing. Shortly, they arrived at another gallery. Unlike the entrance gallery, this one was not natural. It was perfectly round with smooth vertical walls. The center was occupied by a large black matte box that reminded Tim of a sarcophagus, but there was no obvious way to open it. Amos walked over and gently stroked the surface of it.
Raymer, Adrian wants us to bring the equipment here and open this box.
Seeing Raymer's questioning look, Amos added,
It's a crucial part of the plan, Raymer. We need to get going.
Reluctantly, Raymer left, leaving Tim and Amos alone. Exhausted from the long walk, Tim slouched down against the black surface of the box. Amos reassuringly placed his hand on Tim's shoulder.
Tim, I know you well enough to see that you don't believe me. But I'm in here. I'm in here with Amos. I came here to take you back.
Amos explained, trying to comfort Tim. Tim just stared blankly into space, then replied,
Too much has happened in too short a time, Adrian, or Amos, or whoever you are. We met in an online game, but now it feels like I'm stuck in one. It really doesn't matter who you are, as long as you can get me home.
Raymer and a team of 6 Triffle came struggling into the chamber, dragging 3 heavy sleds full of cutting equipment. They quietly conferred before they split into 2 groups and began cutting into the long side of the black metal box. Tim and Amos stood back and watched as they worked. The sonic cutters made a soft, high-pitched buzz as they steadily evaporated the metal. Slowly, they traced around the edge, leaving a thin line in their wake until they met in the lower left-hand corner of the box. Amos took a pry bar from one of the sleds and jammed it into the cut line, then abruptly pulled back. At first, nothing happened. Then slowly, so ever slowly, the side of the box began to fall out. Rapidly accelerating, it hit the floor with a metallic clang that echoed through the chamber and kicked up a thick cloud of dust that obscured the content inside. As the dust settled, Emil stood, transfixed, facing the open box. Inside lay another giant, motionless, as if he were asleep. The giant was young, just a little older than Tim, with dark hair and olive-colored skin. Raymer, puffed up with anger, broke the silence that had suddenly taken over the room.
What's this? Is it a joke, Amos? Is this a trick? You brought us here all the way just to open the grave of another giant?
Raymer, my good friend, let me explain.
Amos spoke in a soft voice.
This is Adrian, or rather Adrian's real body. It was imprisoned here long before we arrived. We need to help Adrian return to it. And in turn, he will help us leave Cerez. You've got to trust me, Raymer. This is our chance to finally leave.
Raymer silently considered what Amos had said.
If this fails, Amos, we'll hold you solely responsible. And if we ever leave after that, I'll be the chief operating officer, and you'll be staying here. You understand, it's nothing personal. It's just policy,
threatened Raymer.
I understand. But it's not going to fail. Leave us now. Adrian and I need to prepare so he can transfer his consciousness back into his body. It must get done before dawn so we can be at the point of convergence before tomorrow at noon.
Tim, Raymer, and the other Triffle quickly left the chamber in silence. Raymer angrily muttering to himself as they went. The purple and oranges of another sunrise crept over the Cerozan horizon. This was just not another day on Cerez. It took a millennium for Cerez to circle its distant star. A star now in its latter years, its age showing in the dim orange light that touched this frozen world. This was the winter solstice, the point when the daylight was the shortest. From now on, for the next quarter of a millennium, the light would slowly start to reappear. It was just after sunrise as the Triffle set out, now with two giants, Tim and Adrian, in tow. They had to make it to the 29th parallel before the sun reached its highest point. That was where the portal would form, provided that they got the two giants there in time. The rolling terrain was making progress so slow that after a while Adrian became concerned that they would not make it in time. So Adrian, Raymer, and a small party set off ahead of the main group to prepare for the portal opening. Raymer had insisted that Amos and Tim stay behind with the main group, just in case. The advance party arrived at a shallow crater. Its walls were so low that it was easy to miss unless you knew exactly where it was. The small group descended into the center, where Adrian sat down in the slush and began to meditate. The sun was close to its highest point, and there shouldn't have been any shadows, but one was beginning to form near the closest crater wall. Raymer and the other Triffles watched as it seemed to darken in contrast to the glare of the snow.
"Is that it?"
Raymer questioned. Adrian nodded and quietly whispered,
"It's the alignment where the world of objects is thinnest. I need to concentrate now so I can send my mind through to create an opening to the right place and time."
Raymer stopped questioning Adrian and waited silently. There was a disturbance at the back of Raymer's small group. Thinking that the main party had arrived, he was about to silence them when Raymer saw Ify, an older-looking giant Margo, and a large group of Sedali pouring down the side of the crater. They were quickly surrounded.
"Where is Tim?"
demanded Serene, as she positioned herself between Raymer and Adrian. When Raymer didn't answer, Serene suddenly spun around to face Adrian.
"It's you, isn't it? You're the one that's interfering with my work. Who are you? Who sent you? Why are you here?"
Serene snapped, her rage barely concealed. Took even Ify by surprise. Lost deep in meditation, Adrian took a few moments to reply.
"I'm not finished,"
he muttered in frustration, then looked up to face Serene.
"You are finished. You're finished interfering in this world,"
Serene quickly responded.
"Don't you recognize me, Serene? Or has your impatience and anger blinded you, as it always does?"
Adrian threw back.
"Adrian!"
Serene gasped.
"But how? Your consciousness was trapped on Earth when the last portal closed."
While all the attention was directed at the two giants, one of the Triffles silently moved away, and reaching the crest of the crater wall, quickly disappeared behind it.
"In the millennium that I've been forced to live in exile, I have learned many things that are forbidden by the Council. And as their representative, Serene, your hands are tied by their stupid rules. I'm free, Serene. Imagine this. The Council's most feared outlaw is free,"
mocked Adrian, with a sneer of resentment crossing his face.
"You were exiled, Adrian, to stop your reckless actions, but obviously you still have no remorse,"
returned Serene.
"But I have finally found you, and I'll never let you leave here."
As the two giants argued, the main group of Triffle quietly arrived, taking up a position close to the now fully formed portal. Serene noticed Tim and started to run toward him, but Adrian blocked her way.
"Go! Go!"
Adrian yelled.
"Go now! It's your only chance!"
The Triffle scrambled towards the portal as the Sedali stood confused, trying to figure out what they should do.
"No!"
yelled Serene.
"We can't let them leave!"
Tim stopped the Sedali's advance by blocking the way as the last Triffle went through. Serene stood momentarily frozen in disbelief. Taking advantage of her momentary indecision, Adrian charged towards Tim, knocking both himself and Tim into the black void of the event horizon. There was a bright flash of white light and a rush of air as the portal closed. Serene and Ify stood silently, looking at the place where the portal had been.
Thank you for listening to episode 5. If you are enjoying this series, please tell your friends about us. You can get involved by contributing your ideas for future episodes on our website at makeshiftstories.com, or you can email us at makeshiftstories@gmail.com. You may have noticed that Solstice was a bit longer than our previous episodes. Our family doesn't take summer holidays. This far north, we have beautiful long summer days, but our winter days are very short. The darkest part of the year is the winter solstice, so we take our annual vacation now and head south to the sun. We decided to combine 2 episodes into 1 so we can take a break. Up to this point, we have been releasing new episodes around the 2nd week of each month. Because of our holiday, our next episode in January will be released toward the end of the month. We'd like to thank David, Carol, and Kathleen for their help on the first 5 episodes. And I'd like to thank Carol and David for their patience. Because of my new day job, we've had to record the last couple of episodes at night. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this month's episode.